attic window. The view from the attic window was not extraordinary. From it, I could see down the slope of a gentle hill leading to the road which connected the ranch with the main thoroughfare. There was never any through traffic, save for the rare driver who had lost his way in the unmarked, unpaved, dusty back roads of Tehama County. The ranch was the last stop. We lived, as my grandmother put it, on the ragged edge of nowhere. For the first 7 years of my life, I lived on the ranch, thousands of acres of ungenerous land, on which my grandparents made a marginal living, raising sheep, dairy cattle, and alfalfa. There was love enough to go around, and time now and then stolen away from chores. My grandmother taught me to read before my fourth birthday. It was, without a doubt, her greatest gift to me. Still, I was a child whose life was inward-focused, solitary, and dreamy. The attic was reached by means of a narrow and perilous stairway. The heat as I climbed up on a summer day would probably be more than I could bear today. It was a place no one visited in winter. I recall no discomfort. Memories of oppressive heat or cold seemed to be blessedly brief. What I can bring to mind in an instant is the smell of the sun-baked wood of the old walls, the sight of the blistered, flaking paint on the windowsill, the sound of the wasps who made their papier-mâché houses in high corners where the roof and the walls met. Do you realize that wasps end each hum with a question mark? The attic window was not important for what I could see outside. It was indispensable to my activities inside, for under the windowsill, illuminated by this small rectangle of daylight, was a large chest, and in that chest was the fuel for wonderful imaginings. There were beaded, dainty handbags, lined with silk so brittle with age that a clumsy child's hands would shred it. What family coquette had peeped over the rim of the faded Chinese fan, and who had chosen it, and where? Gold-rimmed eyeglasses, so tiny, who could have worn them? They were in a hinged, stiff, black leatherette case, lined in a rich blue velvet. It pinched my fingers when it snapped shut. There were long cotton dresses, tucked and embroidered. Had they ever been white? Who had laundered them? And most of all, who had stood over an ironing board and pressed out the wrinkles with a series of sad irons heated on the wood stove? Every National Geographic since the beginning of time was stacked in the attic. They were never thrown away and never, never cut up for pictures. The maps, too, were sacred. I loved the National Geographic, but got impatient with the printed parts. The old copies of Life magazine, however, were my window in the world. There was glamour, drama, gritty reality. Every copy was there, right back to the one with Hoover Dam on the cover. I was not encouraged to spend time in the attic. My grandmother would have much preferred that I played out of doors and get some roses in my cheeks and help feed the chickens or bring in kindling for the stove. So my attic visits were rare, and when I had settled myself amongst the treasures there, I would be very quiet and listen to the wasps and smell the wood, and my child's imagination would visit the whole wide world, lit by one small window with flakes of paint